Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for November 17th, 2024 is based on Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Generosity Sunday. An introduction to our second reading. In the last week of his life, Jesus warned his disciples concerning trials that were to come upon them and upon the world. He exhorts the listener, "Do not be alarmed." A reading from Mark. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. Amen. Well, there's nothing like a little apocalyptic reading to get you ready for your Sunday afternoon, am I right? Not many people say, "You know what I really need this Sunday morning? A good old-fashioned end-of-the-world sermon." That's not typically the vibe we're looking for when we come to church. But these passages and passages like them are in our Bible, so we do need to talk about them from time to time. If you've attended Pastor Craig's adult Bible study class over the last couple of weeks, you know you're talking about this very thing, the end of the world. There's still a session left and time for you to jump into that next week at 10 a.m. if you would like to. And for those of you who attended, please forgive me if this next couple of paragraphs seem a little repetitive to you. But here's one thing that I want you to understand for today as we get started. Apocalyptic texts are not roadmaps for the future. They aren't something that you hold up to what's going on in the world today to figure out how much time is remaining before the second coming of Christ. These texts were written in order to give hope and reassurance to people facing difficult times by depicting a future where God would intervene to defeat evil and bring justice to the righteous, especially when they were under oppression or experiencing significant turmoil. The people reading these texts typically believed that they were already at the end of days, and they needed some comfort in their lives. And the images used in the writing, they would have recognized as symbols of the mean and cruel people and places that were holding them down. So if you were hoping that I would tell you today how long we have until the end of the world, unfortunately, that's not going to happen. But we too, in times when our world seems as if it is crumbling down around us, can look at these texts to find hope and comfort. In Jesus' words today, he tells the disciples that not even the most glorious of temples will remain standing forever, and that their leaders will sometimes come with impure motives, hoping to deceive and lead them astray. He tells in these words the truth about humanity's past and our present and our future. No church building will stand forever, Leaders sometimes let us down. Nation will fight against nation, and natural disasters will ravage the land. There probably isn't a year on record where these tragedies haven't happened within a calendar year. But if we can't place our ultimate trust in the fancy church buildings or leaders or nations or denominations, who can we turn to? Is there anything or anyone that we can trust? Well, this is where I believe that we as Christians have a unique glimpse into the nature of God. We know that Jesus, both wholly divine and wholly human, was beaten, mocked, nailed to a cross, and left there to die. And to some, that may seem like the end of life, the end of hope, the end of the world. But we know that Jesus is risen to new life again and defeats the sin and death that preoccupies so much of our daily lives. In an article I read this week, Lori Cornell puts it this way. She says, knowing this crucified and risen Lord changes how we followers see the world. Christ claims us so that we may know refuge, even as the world and its authorities change and decay, and as we face illness, loneliness, grief, and death. He meets us in our endings and makes new beginnings. We confess our faith in God and we are made new. And not only do we find refuge in Jesus, but we want that refuge for others. We visit the sick, the grieving, the lost, to pray and recall Jesus Christ's promises, consoling and reminding each other that we are beloved and Christ is our refuge. Now that is one of the reasons that I think many of us come to worship on a Sunday. We not only want to be reminded that God meets us in our endings and makes new beginnings, but also because we want to support one another and our mission to love God and love our neighbor. We want the mercy, grace, love, forgiveness, and justice of God in our lives, but we also want to know how we can work to show that same mercy, grace, love, forgiveness, and justice to others as well. Because we realize that what we have in this life is only temporarily given to us by God. And we are able to leverage it, not solely for our own benefit, but to help others as well. On this Generosity Sunday, I am reminded of a couple of stories about how people in our congregation and in the community leverage their gifts not for their own benefit, but to be a blessing to others. This December, for what for most people is the most happiest time of the year, there are families in our community who do not have a place to set up a tree, a place to cook a Christmas dinner, a place to call home. These families luckily have shelter over their heads through the Family Promise of Warren County program, a program that Resurrection Lutheran Church signed on to and has been faithfully serving from its inception over 25 years ago when it was called Interfaith Hospitality Network. During our congregation's week of serving in December, we will give about 250 hours of volunteering during that week to make sure these families have a safe, welcoming place to call home during one of the most traumatic times of their lives, often due to no fault of their own. And over the course of 2024, through volunteering by mainly churches in the community, over 13,000 volunteer hours will be given to the families at Family Promise so that they can experience dignity and know that people care for them even if they've never met them before. Every volunteer is someone who brings new life to these families who otherwise would be facing an end-of-the-world scenario for their family. The other story of selfless generosity that comes to mind comes from an individual I give pastoral care to, who may never step foot into this congregation. About every other month, I travel 90 minutes north to a state correctional institution to visit with an incarcerated individual. We talk about the stress of life in a place that seeks to drain the life out of you. We talk about theology. We talk about living lives of faith. And we end with communion and prayer. Recently, as we were talking about the practices of discipleship, remember that Leveling Up discipleship series that we did? I send my sermons to him. And they made it known that they wanted to give a financial gift to the church. Mind you, the average hourly wage for an incarcerated individual is 63 cents an hour. But they were so touched by the ministry that our congregation does that they wanted to take a portion of their paycheck on a regular basis and send it to the congregation. I try to encourage them that they should keep it for their own creature comforts in the prison commissary, something to buy them a little bit of joy. But their heart was convicted that this was one way that they could help the congregation's mission and ministry, even if the gift would be considered paltry by some. These stories of people living out lives of generosity bring to life the words I shared earlier from Lori Cornell, that knowing this crucified and risen Lord changes how we followers see the world. Christ claims us so that we may know refuge, even as the world and the authorities change and decay, and as we face illness, loneliness, grief, and death. God meets us in our endings and makes new beginnings. We confess our faith in God, and we are made new. And not only do we find refuge in Jesus, but we want that refuge for others. As Christians, we're not concerned with the end of the world. We're focused on the one who is with us now and will be with us at the end of time as we know it. And when we focus on that truth, the truth in Jesus Christ, we realize that our lives are made new and we are empowered to live lives of generosity for the sake of God's good news and for the sake of bringing refuge to all of our neighbors. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.